Blog Talk Radio.
NC Preps Radio, the pulse of North Carolina high school sports. NC Preps teams with rivals to bring you accurate player and team news across North Carolina. From results of previous weeks to the next big game, NC Preps Radio is your top destination for information. Now, here's your host.
Hello, high school football fans. Steve King, publisher of NC Preps, member of the Rivals.com, Yahoo Sports Network. Just want to thank all of our listeners tuning in today. Joining me on today's broadcast is co-host, NC Preps staff analyst, Dolphus Pearson III. Hey, Dolphus, how are you doing today?
Hey, Ms. Dana, how you doing? I'm doing well, and hello to all of our listeners out there. It's week three, so it's another week of high school football, and I'm definitely ready to dive into it for sure.
Well, we're going into week three. It's hard to imagine, you know, two weeks are down in the books, and we're ready to start week three. Our first segment of the show is brought to you by ScoreStream. ScoreStream is the best fan-driven high school sports app and platform. They aim to empower fans, schools, teams, and media companies with the tools to provide accurate and real-time sports coverage. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about some interesting scores and games from week two. First one, we're going to the lead off is some of the games that I highlighted in my top games, and one of them was Kramer out of Gaston County. Kramer High School defeated Mountain Island Charter 22-20. That was a really good game. Kramer is an up-and-coming program in that area. They're starting to become a really good team in that Belmont, Gaston County part of the state. You know, Southland has always been a long-time power in that area, and Kramer was their high school was made out of that district somewhat there in South Point. So they're starting to get some of those good, talented players, and they beat a good Mountain Island Charter team that's going to make some noise in the 1A division. Dolphus, that Jacksonville East Dublin game sounded like a good one as well.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely. That game surprisingly came down to the wire until late. Jacksonville did pull off the 35-21 win over East Duplin. Both teams are very good. East Duplin has always been one of those teams down there in Duplin County that has really ran the tables and things like that. Great regular season team. So it was a surprise to see Jacksonville kind of overpower them close at the end of the game. But like I said, for the first three quarters, it was definitely very close. Jacksonville did kind of get that upper hand going into the fourth quarter, establishing a very strong run game at the very end. But it was definitely a good game, and I know spectators definitely enjoyed themselves.
And then another game that is a big game every year because these programs are perennial powers. They've won multiple state championships, and that was the Mallard Creek-Butler game. Mallard Creek defeated Butler 36-28, and, you know, Mallard Creek jumped out Butler really early and went up on a big lead, and the Bulldogs closed and rallied and made it a really interesting ball game before Mallard Creek pulled it out at the end. I believe that Charles Mincy Jr. had a great game for the Mavericks, and they're a high-powered team, a nationally ranked team that they just reload and everything. One game that I missed was the Murphy Franklin game. I had picked Franklin to defeat Murphy up there in Western North Carolina, and Murphy proved me wrong. They come out and defeated Franklin 35-14 in a very good game for Murphy to bounce back, because Murphy, as you know, is probably the top 1A team in the far western part of the state. Coach
yes,
David Gentry, multiple state championships, and they're looking like they're riding their ship and getting ready to head for another great run in the regular season and a deep playoff run in the when we get to playoff time. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Like you said, Murphy has always been one of those perennial powers on the 1A level. It seems as if almost every year they're not winning the state championship. They're definitely going. They're making an appearance. Like you said, Coach Gentry and those guys down there, that staff, has done an amazing job just taking that, you know, that small town of Murphy and really camaraderie everybody around, you know, that Murphy High School football team. Like I said, they're great every year. Every year we always expect them to finish near the top of the list. And this year, again, seems to be no different as they defeated Franklinton by 21 points last Friday.
Another big game that happened in the Capital area, Wake Forest, the defending 4AA champs, hosting a really good traditionally powerhouse Richmond County and coming away with a 49-28 win. Dolphins Wake Forest, you know, that was a big measuring stick for them because, as you know, Wake Forest, after this game with Richmond, they the competition, you know, they may just walk through the competition up there in the Raleigh area. A lot, some of the Charlotte area where, you know, we have Mallard Creek playing Huff later and Vance later and Butler playing some of the other teams in Charlotte. So you think Wake Forest is heading for another undefeated season?
I will say this. I'm kind of hesitant to say that they're going to go undefeated for a third straight. I was very impressed with the performance that the Richmond Raiders put out there. You know, everybody knew going into the game that, you know, Wake Forest is, you know, the big bad champ at the top of the mountain. And Richmond went in. They were not scared. They went in right away, scored. Wake Forest scored right back. It was an absolute dogfight. And I was telling a few listeners that I came into contact with earlier this week that the score does not reflect the game that was actually played. It was actually a great game because at the beginning of the game, Wake Forest did not have an answer for Richmond County's passing game. Caleb Hood is a young quarterback that's going to be an exceptional player once he gets older. Malik Standback, you know, just them a few guys. Those guys were out there making plays early. Coach Brian Till and those guys over at Richmond County have no reason to hang their hat. Again, Wake Forest, we know their power. They haven't lost a game in 2 years. That game did show me, though, Ms. Dina, I'm a little hesitant to say that they're going to repeat and go for another undefeated season. We may see them in the state championship, but I do believe there are a few niches in Wake Forest's armor that we didn't see last year because, you know, they had Devon Lawrence, and then the year prior to, they had his older brother, Dexter, and again, everything was just coming together. But now that they don't really have that marquee guy, we could throw in Jaden McKenzie, 2019 defensive end, 6'2", 245 pounds, over 20 offers. He is a playmaker. He is a perennial FBS starter at the next level in due time. However, I do believe that we are starting to see a little bit of vulnerability out of the Wake Forest team, and I don't know if that streak continues this season, but that's just my personal opinion. So, again, I know a lot of people are going to disagree, but I think we are going to see Wake Forest lose their first game in 3 seasons this year.
Some other scores: AC Reynolds defeated Shelby 17-14, and that, you know, those two programs, Reynolds multiple championships, Shelby, everybody knows about Shelby's program, one of the most winningest program in North Carolina. So that was seemed like it was a great ball game, 17-14, good close defensive battle. Kind of shocker to me, Central Cabarrus defeating Hickory Ridge and new coach Sam, you know, Griner, 21-7. Hickory
Absolutely.
Ridge had a great season last year, and it looked like Central Cabarrus with a big shocker. And then the game that I usually like to see, it's a unique game, up Cherokee always plays Choctaw Central in, from Mississippi. It's a battle of the Cherokee Nation is what I kind of call it. You know, both of those schools, the Cherokee Indians and Nation, and Cherokee usually does very well in this game, and they kept whatever trophy or whatever they have up there in the Cherokee Nation in North Carolina, and they came away with a 27-6 win. It's a good to see Cherokee representing North Carolina, and you know they're coming off a state championship season as well. What do you think about Garner losing 43-6 to Cleveland?
Oh man, I was trying to kind of hold off on this until we got to our games of the week. But arguably, Ms. Dina, this was the biggest upset in the state for this past week. I mean, the biggest upset. Garner, you know, started the season off strong with a win over Clayton, High School. And again, Cleveland, they won their first game of the season. It was a shootout, but they did win their first game. However, everyone predicted this game, this matchup against Garner, to be completely one-sided. Again, Cleveland is a good program. They've had a lot of success to be one of the newer programs in that triangle area. But again, they just simply came out to play last Friday, and it appeared Garner did not. They couldn't get anything going on the offensive end. Their playmakers were silenced early. And again, Cleveland just went full steam ahead, and they did not hold back, and they let off a barrage of touchdowns against the Trojans. It was actually quite alarming to see the deficit in which Garner lost to Cleveland.
Well, I know you have to some things to say about Cleveland later in the show because you got them in a game to watch this week. We're going to move on. Havelock just destroyed New Bern, 77-13. Coach King, I don't know. He finds someone every year to just do well. Anthony Harris, a Tennessee commit, that they're recruited as a defensive back. He's playing quarterback for the Rams, and he threw for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns in the first half in that big win over New Bern. It's quite impressive.
Yes, ma'am.
And
absolutely.
Then,
Coach Caleb, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I was just going to say, I was just reiterating exactly what you said. Coach Caleb King is without a doubt one of the best high school coaches in the state, regardless of division. As you stated, every year, you know, he always has those guys that just reload in those playmaking positions. And as you stated, Anthony Harris, a defensive back at the next level. However, he is just showing his athleticism and versatility, being thrown into the fire as a quarterback of the Rams this season. And again, as you say, they have not skipped a beat. I'm telling you, at first I thought it was a little error on my Max Prep app because I said, man, they're about to score 100 points.
Well, a mild upset, I think, in the Raleigh area is Middle Creek defeating Heritage 28-24. You know, Heritage has a lot of D1 kids on that roster, and it kind of surprised me, Middle Creek. Even though Middle Creek had a great run a couple years ago, Heritage has been really that program that I believe is pushing towards, you know, competing with Wake Forest on a regular basis in that area as one of the top programs. And then New Hanover defeated Northside Jacksonville 24-14 in a pretty good game. New Hanover bouncing back off that big loss they had last week. So we're going to take our second segment break, and this is our VTO Sports Players of the Week brought to you by VTO Sports. VTO Sports, the leader in combines and camp space, they provide a group of events that enables the student athlete and their family the opportunity to fully develop and compete as they determine their path in the high school recruiting process. Dolphins, tell us who the winners of this weekly award is this week.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. A lot of great applicants, a lot of great nominees. However, this week for the VTO Sports Players of the Week for the eastern side of North Carolina, We have quarterback Vincent Amendola from Leesville Road High School out of Raleigh, North Carolina. The listeners have probably heard his name a lot. They've heard his name come out of my mouth a lot over the summer. He's the guy that we really got acclimated with earlier in the year at the VTO Combine. Again, he was an All-American showcase participant, was named first-team All-American at quarterback. Electrifying player. He's 6'2", 215 pounds. He has a rocket of an arm. He actually completed 25 of his 32 passes for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns as the Leesville Road Pride completely routed Panther Creek 48-10 this past weekend. And on the western side of North Carolina, we have another quarterback, this one being Kanique Bonner-Stewart from Huff Heights, another guy that we've ranted and raved about all throughout the offseason. We've really seen him develop as a player as well as his recruitment process. Again, we wrote on him early. He was just really getting the ball rolling, and now he's a Temple commit. Couldn't be more happy for him. 6'4", 210 pounds, very, very versatile. He's a two-way guy. He can kill you in the air. He can kill you with his feet. He actually finished 17 for 22 for 299 yards and 4 touchdown tosses in another 48-10 win over Providence. So, again, congrats to those two guys. They're two great players, two great senior leaders for their team. And, again, I know those coaches are happy to have those guys on their sideline and not the opposing sideline.
Yeah, coaches, please send in your nominations. You can get these your student-athletes recognized for their performances and everything. Like we say, we're trying to do be balanced and do an Eastern and a Western kid each week. And now we're going to move into week three conference, and you've highlighted, I believe, 4 games that you're very curious to see, and I'll let you talk about these games.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So as you stated, this week I highlighted 4 games that I really feel as if we need to keep our eyes on as games of the week. I think this is going to be great matchups. First one I have is Northside Jacksonville versus Clinton. And as you stated, Northside Jacksonville lost a close one against New Hanover 24-14. However, they always boast athletes. I think the biggest question with the Monarchs are always putting it together more so than who are we going to put out there. So I really feel as if they can kind of get it all together, they'll definitely turn around. They're facing off against a good Clinton team that just beat East Bladen 14-0, which is a very impressive win, seeing as we know the success East Bladen had last year. Again, I think it's going to be a dogfight. Both teams have a lot to prove. They both finished 6-6 on the season. Both had 500 records. I really feel as if this is going to be a very, very great game. I do have Clinton edging over the Monarchs 21-17. Again, I do feel as if Clinton is going to find a way to win. We know that they're a historical program, a lot of 5 state championships in their school's history. Again, over the past few years, we still see the prominence in basketball. It's kind of falling off on the football field a little bit, but I do think that the dark horses pull out the win over Northside Jacksonville 21-17. Then heading up the road a little bit, we're going to go to Ravenscroft High School as the Ravens take on the South Granville Vikings. Now, we know South Granville reeled off 13 straight wins last year before losing to North Davidson in the third round of the playoffs, their first loss of the season. Again, they went a perfect 13-0 before losing in the third round of the playoffs. I will say they have one kid that you have got to look out for, Tahagi Allen. He's a do-it-all type of kid. He's 6'2", 240 pounds. He plays defensive end. He lines up as the interior D lineman at nose and 3 technique. And he also plays running back, which is amazing to see a kid his size with that athleticism and move the way he can. He's already registered 95 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns on the season, as well as he's racked up 5 tackles for a loss and 2 sacks. So it's going to be interesting to see what Ravenscroft does to kind of contain a player of that stature. They did lose last week to High Point Christian Academy, 23-14. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back. They have a young running back in Patrick Johnson, class of 2020. He logged 2 rushing touchdowns against High Point Christian Academy, and he had a rushing touchdown in their very first game of the season. So he's undoubtedly the leader of this Ravenscroft team, and he is going to have a similar type outing if he does want to get over the feat of dethroning the Vikings. Unfortunately, I don't see Ravenscroft coming out with the win this Friday. Just being completely honest, the South Danville team is loaded, and I do see, I can tell the intensity that they play with. They have their mind on not only getting back to the state playoffs, but making a deeper run than they did last year. I said South Granville rolls Ravenscroft this upcoming Friday, 35-14. Again, Ravenscroft is a good team. I just don't see him beating a team like South Granville. Now, getting back to Cleveland. Cleveland, as we stated, had a Herculean victory over Garner this past Friday, 43-6. Everybody did not expect that one. That got everybody off the left field. They're going to be facing off against Terry Sanford this week. Now, let me tell you, Terry Sanford, we can't forget about this team. This team has always, really always had not only the athletes to make it far in the state playoffs, but they also have a great system in place. Again, they know their program. Not only do they have their goals intact and everything like that, they're disciplined. They have always been a great disciplined group of guys that go out and perform well on offense and defense. They beat in crosstown rival Jack Britt this past Friday, 29-15. And Jack Britt is another team that we have to look out for in that Sand Hills Conference. Again, they can catch some people by surprise. Biggest thing about Cleveland is Darius Ocean. I'll tell you right now, he was the catalyst of this routing of Garner this past Friday. He finished 18-29 for 304 yards and 4 touchdown passes. Again, he completely torched the Garner Trojans, who are usually known for having a pretty dominant defense as well. Also, they have a senior running back in Adrian Henry, who rushed for 131 yards on 22 carries, nearly averaging 6 yards a carry and a touchdown. So, again, these are two of the biggest playmakers for Cleveland. They're going to have to continue to keep up this pace to continue this type of success. Again, Terry Sanford does have a lot of ball players. They have Dorian Clark, a junior running back. He rushed for over 1,500 yards last year. He's already rushed for 127 yards on the season. Excuse me, he rushed for 127 yards and 2 touchdowns last Friday against Jack Britt, over 350 yards on the season. Again, it's going to be a battle between these guys. But I do see the Rams of Cleveland sneaking past Terry Sanford, 35-31. Again, that's going to be a great matchup. If you're in the area, if you're in the Fayetteville area, I would highly recommend making it to see this game. This is going to be a good game. You won't be disappointed. And lastly, my my quote-unquote game of the night is going to be New Hanover versus Cape Fear. And as you stated, New Hanover got the 24-14 victory over Northside Jacksonville on Friday. They looked great. Again, we know that New Hanover was crowned the 3AA state champions last year, and they're going to be facing off against a team that has had their number, I believe, since the first time they faced off against them last season, and that's going to be the Cape Fear Colts. The only game that I could truly say New Hanover was in danger of losing it was in the third round, and that's when they faced off against the Colts from Cape Fear. Again, they played them in the regular season. New Hanover beat them 26-19, close game. They meet again in the third round. New Hanover survived by a last-second touchdown by Blake Walston to take a 41-38 victory in a great, arguably one of the best playoff games of the season last year. But like I said, they have this team's card. Now, we do know one of the main keys to New Hanover's success last year was slot receiver and athlete Wiz Vaughn. He was a do-it-all type of guy. You know, he hurt you on the run. He also hurt you in the air. Like I said, he was a smooth route runner. He could play in the backfield. He could play running back, things like that. Just a very, very versatile guy. But this year they have Travis Lee, who might not be as big as Vaughn. However, he can definitely do some amazing things with the ball in his hand. He registered 132 rushing yards last week, 93 receiving yards, and a rushing touchdown against a good Northside Jacksonville team. Again, this Northside Jacksonville team is no pushover, for sure. And, again, Cape Fear, they do have the athletes. But like I said, we're coming into it. They lost three times to this same team last year. Once in the regular season, they lost twice to this team last year. They lost once in the regular season and then again in the playoffs. So this is the third matchup for the Cape Fear Heroes and New Hanover in just a one-year time span. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they come out with that chip on their shoulder, knowing that, you know, this was the same team that ended their season 1 year prior. It's going to be an interesting game. Again, New Hanover has some great athletes. Cake Fear has a senior running back in Zaire Boykin. He was the team's leading rusher a year ago. 6'1", 200-pounder, very solid frame. He can run in between the tackles. It's going to be a complete dogfight. It is definitely going to be a dogfight. New Hanover is coming in as the reigning 3AA state champions. So, again, Cape Fear knows the task that's at hand and how they react. They're going to be at home. So they're going to have the home crowd behind them, everything like that. How they react is going to be solely on how they establish their playmakers early in the game. They have to make plays early. They have to fly around. They have to play fast. And they're going to have to stop this New Hanover offense. I am giving the upset victory. I am giving the upset victory to the Colts of Cape Fear. I do have them defeating New Hanover finally by a touchdown, 24-17. Again, that's another game that's going to be in that Fayetteville area. I encourage all of our listeners, if you can, make it out there. There's going to be some great games being played in that area this weekend. And also, I would be remiss if I did not mention the Dudley and Page game, the Battle of Greensboro, two teams that just, quite frankly, just don't like each other. You know, it's a crosstown rivalry. Again, this is two teams, a lot of history. Page, you know, won the state championship 2 years ago. Dudley just has such vast history with their program. They have some stars on that team with Michael Wyman, Landon Johnson, guys like that. You know, guys that really are not only dominant playmakers at this level, but you can really see what they can do at the next level as well. So that's going to be a great
game.
That game is
a battle of Greensboro, and, you know, it's a big crowd there. Everybody wants to see that game. Both of the programs are in good shape and winning traditions. Both have won recent state championships. So, I mean, when you get two heavyweights there in Greensboro, if you're in the Guilford area, that's a game to attend. You know, another game to watch out for in the northwestern part of the state is Elkin and Mount Airy, two 1A programs that have rich football tradition. Mount Airy coming off a state championship appearance last year where they got beat by a very awesome Tarboro team. That just run over everyone last year. But Mount Airy off to a 2-0 start. Elkin is off to a 2-0 start. Elkin has been, by their standards, kind of down the last few years. They've had some young kids, and this year this team is young as well. They had an undefeated JV team last year that's moved up a year, so they got a lot of young talent, and this should be a good game to see where Elkin is at the point of this season. I still think they have a shot of being a force in the smaller 1A playoffs if they can get this young talent to be healthy and get some experience. Mount Airy, you know, they're going to be the kind of on the border of big 1A or small 1A, but they're going to be a force in the playoffs. And then Dolphins, Havelock, and Wallace Rose Hill, you know, those two programs are two of the better programs in the East.
Yes, ma'am. Not only are they two of the better programs in the East, just like you said, it's just a lot of history with Wallace Rose Hill and Havelock. I'll be interested to see how Wallace Rose Hill can react to this Havelock team because, like I said, they are completely rolling right now with that 77-point victory over New Bern. And New Bern is not a bad team at all. Like I said, there's not a team that can be taken lightly. You really have to have your target on these Havelock Rams. Again, they look like they're following full horses. Go ahead.
Well, Havelock will maybe be looking for some revenge from last year because Wallace Rose Hill, but behind a awesome player, Javonte Williams, who's now at UNC, they took that win over Havelock last year. Well, we're running out of time. We put out a lot of info in today's show. Go out. There's some games tonight, Thursday night special, because of the Labor Day holiday. Go out and watch your game. Be safe. And thank you for listening. For Dolphus Pearson and myself, you guys have a great day and enjoy your football weekend. Goodbye.
Yep. Bye-bye.